Fierce Femme Media.
That's how we roll. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the weekly wind down. There's just three of us tonight, so it might be under an hour and a half. I don't know.
Probably not.
Yeah. Right. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
Tonight, I'm drinking Maine and Geary. It's a Cab Sauv from the Central Coast of California, 2017. It was one of my buy one, get ones from BevMo. Since we spent so much time talking before we got on, I'm already halfway through the bottle, and it's delicious.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
You have a second one, just in case?
Oh my god, I'd be so hungover if I drink a second bottle.
Whatever, it's so Friday.
Okay. TGIF. Do you have a toddler? No.
Kind of. I am drinking a black raspberry sparkling ice because I'm on a diet.
It's not the period, Vodka. It's the diet.
I know. I'm just not quite there yet. Right. Like, I'm having so many fewer calories right now.
Yeah.
But I think I need another week or two to, like, get used to that before I can put alcohol back
two
in.
Things.
But don't worry. I will.
Two things. I tried the Bud Lights. Not impressed.
Yeah. What flavor did you have?
I got the variety pack. Not impressed. I prefer Truly's. I mean, I drank them all, but I prefer Truly's.
Yeah.
Number two. Erin, if you're going to drink, if vodka's going to be your thing, uh-huh, make some different drinks with it so you can at least talk about them.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Can we start that next week?
Yes.
I'm going to start like that. Once I feel like I'm only like a solid weekend or maybe on my second week. So once I'm like ready to a point where I'm like, oh, the amount of food I have on my stomach can handle alcohol. I want to do all like calorie conscious.
Oh, good idea.
Like
skinny girl
things.
You know.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah, good idea. I like it. Mm-hmm. Oh, we should do like a whole, we should probably have this conversation offline, but fuck it.
Yeah,
we should do like a whole like calorie conscious holiday drink menu.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Like if you did a vodka soda, what flavoring could you put on that would still be festive, mm-hmm, but keep your calorie content? You know what I mean?
Cranberry.
Cranberry. There's also Flavor God makes like that pumpkin spice like sprinkle that you could put on, mm-hmm, and that donut sprinkle. This could be a thing. We'll do a whole thing.
Okay. Yep, we got you guys. Because I'm probably not the only person who's trying to get rid of the quarantine 15.
Woo, quarantine 25.
I was just going to say 15.
15,
I wish.
But it's like, the quarantine 15 plus the like, my dad died 20 plus hurt my foot 40. Like, there's multiple.
Stacy, first of all, you're beautiful. I don't ever want to hear anything differently.
Oh, bless.
But if you want to start being more healthy, I'm on board. Okay, so we're going to address one listener question.
Wait, do I not get to tell you what I'm drinking?
You're drinking fucking vodka. You already said it.
Okay.
But she didn't. You said she was drinking vodka. And then
no, she did. She said vodka.
Oh.
No, I was telling Stacy she could put vodka in a drink.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Also, I'm drinking vodka.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Everyone knows. I did want to address, we got a listener question a while back asking us to speak in layman's terms about the actual Bill of Rights and what it means. Because a lot of people throw around like the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment. We are going to do that. There has just been so much going on all of the time that we haven't really been able to nail that down. And I'm tossing around the idea of possibly doing like a separate sub series that doesn't take up our actual podcast time to discuss like the actual Bill of Rights so that we can go through what it actually means. Cause what the listener was asking was essentially people say First Amendment, but everyone has like a different definition of First Amendment. What does it actually mean? What did they actually mean by well-regulated militia in the Second Amendment? Does that actually mean that, you know, our well-regulated militia is the National Guard, or can people form their own militias based on Second Amendment availability? So we'll do a deep dive of that. It'll probably be Stacy and I that do it. Unless Erin wants to participate. I can't imagine that the other Stacy wants to, is my point.
She wants to stay far away from that.
So maybe we'll do a deep dive on that so we can go through like an amendment. We'll try to stick it to like 20 minutes, an amendment a week, and we'll release that so you have some talking points about it when it happens. And we had some questions about in the same line about what it actually means to have a constitution convention. Like how does the constitution actually ratified? Who needs to buy into it? Can the constitution be changed before? So there's some like civics questions that I understand what you're saying. Yes, you can Google it, but what does it actually mean? And I want to do that for you guys, and I'm sorry we haven't yet. The news
it's
is
just that we live
so
in a
crazy.
Dumpster fire.
Yeah, the news is all over the place all of the time. So we're going to put together a series about those things for you, little 20-minute drops where we will get into all of those things so that you feel more prepared about having conversations with people and your family and voting and just being a citizen in the country. So, and I think it's a good refresher for everyone to kind of understand what it is that we deal with, especially when those articles are thrown around. Because guess what? Twitter doesn't First Amendment doesn't fucking apply to Twitter because it's a privately held company. But we'll do it in a special series.
Schoolhouse Rock, but without the music and with wine.
And we'll call it the weekly wind down does. And it'll be like, does the Bill of Rights? Does the and it'll be great. It'll
I love
be great.
It. There's our marketing person right there.
I was just going to say the marketing is already coming to mind. I've already got the memes made.
I just didn't want that listener to think I had ignored her because she sent us like 3 emails about it. Because it was like, can you dumb down the First Amendment? How about the Fourth? How about the so no, I'm not ignoring you. We're just, there's so much. All of the fucking time. We did get a listener question asking us if we thought there would be a bump in the RNC, in Trump's approval rating or Trump's likelihood of becoming president again or whatever because of the RNC. Stacey, did you want to talk about that for a second?
I don't. If there is, I know, I like don't even know where to start. If it is, if there is, which I don't think there's any metrics for that. Like, I think it's really hard to tell because, like, I was talking to one of my friends and I was saying how even the ratings are hard to tell, right? Because I know, like, Jackie and I hate watched part of it. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't get to check a box on the TV that's like, I'm hate watching this. I'm not a fan.
Don't
like,
count don't me as a viewer.
Also, if you think of how much viewership comes from, like, online and from streams and from YouTube and stuff. So, but I don't get how any person in their right mind could have watched it and been like, yep, that's my dude. Like, the amount of laws that were broken just in the actual production of it was like crazy to me. Like, I don't get how, I mean, like, yeah, it bumped the memes. The memes got a bump.
Yeah.
And they were good.
Oh my God. Superb. There was one of Kimberly Guilfoyle as Rita Repulsa from Power Rangers, and I peed my pants. That was the funniest thing I've ever seen. But yeah, I think if you're already drinking the Kool-Aid, maybe you get a little internal bump from seeing him like in front of the White House and all the people sitting together with no masks and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I think if you're on the border, like if you're kind of right in the middle and you kind of don't know what you're doing, first of all, who are you?
Get with it.
It should be a real like clear cut decision here, but I can't imagine all of that hate and vitriol and just like nonsense would push you towards wanting to vote for him. I think it would.
So the RNC was clearly directed actually at women like us, women in their 30s who live in the suburbs. It was so heavy-handedly directed towards us, it was almost insulting. I do think if you are looking for a reason, an excuse to vote for Donald Trump because you were kind of like, oh, I don't really like him, but who are the people surrounding him? I think the RNC offered that to you. I just don't know how big of a demographic that actually is. People looking for I feel like Donald Trump supporters now are Donald Trump supporters. And everybody else is everybody else. And I do want to make this distinction because I have seen there's a lot of big organizations. I mean, the Republicans are real big into pushing like the Walk Away campaign, which is Democrats that have switched over to the Republican side since Trump has been elected. And that's a whole different fucking rabbit hole that I don't even want to talk about. But there's a lot of professional organizations, Republicans for Trump, the Lincoln Project, Women Republican for Trump, Vets Voting Blue. Like, there's a lot of Republican organizations that have, John McCain's 100 of his staffers have signed a joined letter saying that they will be supporting President Biden. Mitt Romney staffers have come out in mass and said they will be supporting Vice President Biden. And you have a lot of people now who are speaking out from like the National Security Council. There's a lot of generals. There's a lot of admirals. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think any convention offers a little bump as far as, oh, that felt good if that's the side you're on.
Yeah, it gets but everybody riled up.
That's not lasting, right? Like that will even out. But
it's like peeing your pants. Like, it's warm for a second, but eventually it gets cold.
But
it's
cold and uncomfortable. I do not think people who are planning to vote for Biden, I'm particular about my words on that because I'm not calling all of them Democrats. I understand that there's a lot of Republicans that will vote for Biden this time and will never vote for a Democrat again. And that's okay. Thank you for your service. Like, thank you for not drinking the Kool-Aid. And if you're a hardcore liberal or Democrat, don't be an asshole to those people. They're putting country above party. And even if they never vote for another Democrat again, at least they're doing their part to get out of the shit show. You may not convert them forever, but they have enough common sense to realize the existential threat that is Donald Trump to the Republic. So don't be a dick to them. I think, though, we can't be complacent. It is historically difficult to unseat a sitting president. Historically difficult. And the Electoral College is built to favor the GOP. Trump needs to get within 3 or 4 points to steal the election. 3 or 4 points, and the Electoral College will take care of the rest. So the whole idea of worrying about bumps here and how far are we ahead now, we need to vote. And we need to work like we're 10 points under all of the fucking time for the next 10 weeks. We have to stay engaged. And I know it's hard. And I know it's exhausting. And I know all of you listening have wanted to throw your phone across the room 100 million times in the last 2 weeks. I get it. I can't tell you the amount of times I've told my wife, I'm fucking deleting social media. I can't do this anymore. They're stupid. At least 4 times a day. But I don't, because I speak from a position of privilege. Even being a gay woman living in California, I'm more privileged than a gay woman living in Kentucky or
Florida,
or a black straight man or a black straight woman living in California. I have more privilege. So I don't have the option to check out. And you don't have the option to check out. It's 10 weeks. Suck it up, Nancy. Like, we have to all be in this all of the fucking time because the Republic depends on it. I don't mean to sound hyperbolic or like all in end times, but it does.
But it is.
And it really speaking from a state that is going to go blue. We will go blue. If we are the only blue state, California will be blue. Adopt a state then. Go adopt a state and make phone calls. Send text messages, devote your time to the swing states because it fucking matters. It matters. Share the Lincoln Project and the Republicans Against Trump are putting out some great media ads. The Midas Touch is putting out some great media ads that are Republicans speaking out against Trump and saying, I'm putting my feelings about abortion aside. I'm putting my feelings about immigration aside, like I'm putting all of those things aside because I believe Joe Biden is a decent enough middle of the ground human being to vote for him. Other Republicans need to see that. They have to see it. So you have to share it. You have to have those difficult conversations, or I don't know if we're going to survive 4 more years of this. I just don't. Yeah. And I'm not trying to be, I'm not an alarmist. I'm just not.
Right. No, you're really but not. I
think that's what it is. We won't survive. Yeah.
You're being a realist.
Yeah. I feel like, Jackie, you are definitely probably one of the most, like, you and Stacey both are one of the most, like, this is, like, cut and dry. Like, this is the way it is kind of people. Like, it's not, you're not trying to be crazy about it. You're not, like, in my mind, I'm the alarmist. I'm the one that's like, oh my God, we're all gonna fucking die if Trump gets elected again. And that is because it's just who I am. I'm very much a dramatic human being. But like, one of the things that I think is interesting about the RNC is that I feel that it did nothing but excite his own supporters. Like, I feel that a lot of, yeah, it did nothing to sway people to vote for him. You know, like, well, I guess I'll vote for Trump. No, you watch that and you're probably like, So when you were like, we need to vote, we need to vote, we need to vote. Obviously, we always need to vote. But like in this particular circumstance, it's so much more important that every person realizes that your vote really does count. It does count. And especially in Florida, which the last time I looked at polling numbers, we were very close. Like to
close enough to steal.
Yeah, like, and Florida, I don't think has gone blue in a while. So, I mean, I know we can't count shit here, but, like, I just feel like this is going to be a historic election, you know, and I know Stacey and I kind of, like, got all wet when we talked about this last time. It's like, it's exciting to vote. And when you think about, like, voting in a historic election like this, like, that's so exciting. Like, that's very, very exciting. And I feel like the RNC did nothing more than make me hate everything that Trump stands for even more. Him and his family, which I thought was fucking ridiculous that they were
the fact that he spoke every night or, like, there were so many parts of it that were so fucked up.
Illegal. So but, illegal. So many well, parts.
So many
yeah.
things that they did were very
anyone
illegal.
Heard of it? No.
But I thought that the DNC did a much better job of trying to get those Republicans who really care about their country. Like,
or even the Green Party or the other people that are going to vote third party. It's like, wait, I understand what you're doing, but.
Right. But I just thought it was so much more powerful. Like the Republicans that spoke at the DNC had so much more gravitas and so much more like they came from a place of like, no, this is where we're at now. And this is why we're doing this, as opposed to the few Democrats that they got to speak at the RNC who were just like, imagine how bad it's going to be. Like, we don't have to imagine. We know how bad it's going to be with Trump because we've been living with it for the past 4 years. So to try and use that as your reason to like not vote for Biden, like imagine how bad he'll be.
It was
be.
Very like, much a speech like he was running in 2016 and not 2020. Yeah. It was very strange. It was very strange.
Well, remember that one meme?
The, like, remember, like, imagine how great it'll be in Trump's next presidency. Like, no, we don't have to imagine. We're living in it right now. And guess what? Right. Fucking sucks. And the fact that they, like, you have to be willing to accept that they're creating a false narrative when you're watching it to be turned off by it, right? Like, if you already accept everything he says as fact, it doesn't matter, right? They can go out there and scream and fire and brimstone and do whatever. But if you're already buying into that, he did a great job with COVID and he did this. He didn't mention the 175,000 Americans that died.
Yep.
Right.
I know I sent you guys that thing that said, like, during the RNC, more Americans died of COVID than died on 9/11.
Yep.
Yeah. And there was no even reference to it.
Right.
It's fucked up.
I mean, it was horrific.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, will most of us live through another 4 years of Trump's presidency? Sure. But the Republic will not survive. It will be unfixably different. And this is another one of those elections. And I get it. Okay. I know Democrats said that about voting for Obama. And they said that with Romney, if you vote for Romney, it's going to be different. God, what we wouldn't fucking give now for Romney, you know, or John McCain. Like I was so personally insulted when they said John McCain was going to ruin democracy when Democrats said that because you'll find very few Republicans that cared about this country as much as John McCain did.
Well, but here's the thing. The stakes were so different, right?
Because
in our mind, right. Because in our mind, it's like, oh, you're going to ban abortion. That's the end of it. No, but now we've actually seen like the real end of democracy. And we're like, oh shit, we were overreacting.
Right. Well, I'm saying, we've gotten so used to hearing, oh, Democrats are so dramatic. They're so hyperbolic. Like they're so this, they're so that. And yes, in the past, yes, because the stakes were different. The world was different. We were not in the same situation. The norms and institutions that Trump has destroyed in his 4 years, and we can have a conversation if those norms and institutions should still exist, how they exist now. We can talk about that. How should Congress be reworked? How should the Department of Education be reworked? The DOJ, we can have those conversations, but I would love to have them in a policy context and not a desperation, everything is crumbling around us context.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Give us the opportunity to do better and fix them. And by us, I mean all Americans, all of us, then to be like, what do we do now? All of the national intelligence agencies have been discredited. The FBI has been discredited. Mm-hmm. Like, people don't trust police officers. People don't trust their district attorneys. And again, we can have those conversations, mm-hmm. but we don't have anything right now to replace them. So the absence of them, because they're corrupt and untrustworthy, is unacceptable. We need certain pillars to hold up even a broken democracy until we can reinforce those pillars. And I'm a huge proponent of ranked choice voting. I would love to see a viable third party candidate, because I believe competition is good. That is the capitalist Republican in me. Okay.
Right.
But not the capitalist that's like, you know, 1% of the people should own 80% of the world's wealth. Like, those things are, they're nuanced. There's gray in that area. But I do believe competition is healthy to bring about better products. I do believe in that part of capitalism. Don't let people make you believe in false dichotomies. Like, it doesn't have to be one or the other. Your Venn diagram can be everywhere. But this is an emergency. Mm-hmm. This is right. an emergency. And please don't vote for a fucking third party this time. Please.
Right.
Please don't do it.
Yeah. I actually just said that to someone I know the other day, because he was talking to me about Joe Jorgensen. And I was just like, look, I understand everything you're saying. I agree
with a lot of it.
Right. Like, I fucking get it. I understand. And I am not telling you, you are wrong. I am telling you that in this particular circumstance, I am not voting necessarily. I'm voting because I don't dislike Biden. I actually like Biden. I think he's okay. He's not my first choice. Well, yeah, like, exactly. Like, yeah. I was way more excited about Biden when Harris jumped on. You know what I mean? Believe me. But, like, and he obviously was
no, not explain what you mean. I don't get
it. Oh, I'll tell you. Have you seen her?
Are you a lesbian?
I am. I keep meaning to tell you.
God.
Aaron has to come out every episode. It's game very fun.
Game changer.
I know. Hey. But, no, I mean, and I just said to him, I was just like, look, it's not just necessarily about, you know, not voting for Trump. Yes, that is what it is. But it's also about saving democracy right now. Like, do you not understand? And he actually said to me, he's like, I understand what you're saying. And I didn't think he was going to say that. I did not think he was going to say, I understand what you're saying. So it made me feel a little bit better about, because it's not that I don't think that a third party candidate could be something really exciting and really, really interesting to bring to American democracy. But Jesus,
well, and it's not fair, right? Because there's undue pressure on states like Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan, Florida, Pennsylvania, like the swing states. There's undue pressure on them to pick a party. Like, there's not as much.
Right.
If I wanted to fuck around and vote for a third party in California, it does not matter. Like, I can do whatever the fuck I want and it doesn't matter. But there are certain states that it holds more gravitas to it. And that's not fair, which is, I don't believe the Electoral College should exist anymore. I don't think it should be replaced with popular vote, just because I understand that more blue states are more heavily populated, which is why I think we should go to ranked choice voting to be more fair. Because I do think rural communities should still have a say so in what happens, because they exist in this country too. But we can't do that right now. It's too late. We're 10 weeks away. So I'm here to help and work towards a different system of electing people. I would love to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it this time though, guys. I'm sorry.
Right.
You just fucking can't. You
just gotta do the right thing. We need a reset. That's what I've said. Joe Biden is the palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we need it.
So.
Yeah. He's the raspberry sorbet.
Yes.
The shooting that happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin. We've talked about this so many times on here, but I actually want to discuss the way the right treats shooters differently depending on their skin color.
Yes.
Because I'm going to be honest, I think what happened to Jacob Black, it's a tragedy. Like, a man being shot in the back is horrific. I understand that he has a criminal record. I understand all of that. I am fully aware of the accusations that are being held against him and that there was a warrant out for arrest. I get all of that. We shouldn't shoot people in the back under an assumption that he had a knife.
Well, like, seven times, too.
Right.
Because it's that inherent thing of, like, you assume Jacob Blake is...
Oh, I'm sorry, Blake. Dangerous. I said Black. Sorry.
That he's dangerous because he's Black.
Right.
Right? That's the part no one's willing to admit, is that's why they think he's dangerous, and that's why... So yeah. Right there, right? You think maybe he has a weapon. Let's just hold on to that for a minute, right?
But you see a white boy with a weapon and no one fires a shot. That's a disparity that no one wants to talk about.
Well, you see a white boy walking with an AR-15.
That just said and he shot three people.
And he just says he shot three people. Yeah. And he slept in his own bed that night.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucked up.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
That is the problem. And I naively, I saw this and I was like, oh my God, there's no way they can spin this. This is it.
Well, they can, right? Because they if the shooter's Black, now there's the list of here's all the horrible things that person has done, right? Yeah. Here's all their criminal record, whatever. When it's someone who's white, it's here's this wonderful picture of him removing graffiti.
Yeah. Fuck that.
Right. Or let's try and point out, I saw somebody else, the victim's criminal records.
Mm-hmm.
That the victims, you know, one of them had been one of, I don't know, whatever, arrested for something. Like, right. But they still got shot peacefully protesting. And well, so.
And there's 1 billion videos of all of this going mm-hmm. on. And people are editing them in different versions and in different, like, time scenarios and all of this. I would urge everyone, the New York Times actually had a reporter on the ground when this went down, which I think is probably, until I hear convincing evidence differently, this is the version of events that I'm going to go off in my head. Like, so what she reported, and she had been reporting, she's from Kenosha. All right. She actually lives an hour and a half away now. She's a correspondent for the New York Times. When she heard what she was happening in her hometown, she went back to cover the news because that is what reporters do.
Mm-hmm.
She was very clear saying, hey, look, if you don't know, protest in the daytime, when everyone goes home, when the police officers sign the, like, hey, it's curfew, protesters go home, the vast majority of protesters that are there peacefully protesting leave. It is very different at nighttime. It brings out a whole different swath of people. I am not defending or accusing anyone at this point. I'm just telling you what was reported. She actually witnessed the shooter having an argument in the parking lot with one of the future victims. They were arguing back and forth, yelling back and forth at each other. She could not hear what was being said. She felt unsafe in that situation because Kyle Rittenhouse then swung the gun around from his back and she was like, not going to die for a story. I'm getting in my car. She got in her car. That is when the gunshot went off and Kyle Rittenhouse fled the scene then. And that is when that individual chased him down after he had shot someone in the head. Mm-hmm. Several people, you can hear in her recording, because she's recording for the Daily live, saying, I'm getting in my car. I feel very unsafe. Like, this is kind of it's going sideways. I'm going to go somewhere else. Shots were fired and you can hear her yelling, or you can hear people in the background yelling, he just shot someone, get him. People chased him down. And that is when he was hit by the skateboard. He shot that individual in the chest and another bullet was fired off and hit that other guy who was also carrying a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That is, That is a sequence of events I am choosing to believe, because she was right there, and reporters are trained to notice intricacies, details, that the rest of us are not. Until something comes out differently, that is what she saw. Mm-hmm. I thought there was no way they could spin it. I thought this, and to be fair, I saw a lot of my right-leaning friends come out and say, where are all my gun advocates at, my fellow safe gun advocates at, condemning this type of behavior? I'm going to be fair. I saw a lot of them do that.
He's a minor. He shouldn't have had an AR.
He shouldn't have crossed state lines. He shouldn't have had his hands on that weapon. He shouldn't have been involved in any of those confrontations. If he was truly there to protect property, he should have been standing stoically in front of said property, which doesn't make fucking sense because it wasn't his property, but that's a whole different thing.
And it's a fucking parking lot,
why was he even involved in a verbal altercation with anyone when he knows for a fact he has a deadly weapon on him? Like, you should take more personal responsibility than that if that's how you're going to engage. I will give credit to my friends, mostly ex-military, that said that. And then there's a whole swath of people
that are defending it. And that here's are defending the thing it. I don't get the, like, my property, blah, blah, blah. Let's just say for a second, maybe that was his parking lot.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't, so, but let's say.
Let's just say, just for shits and giggles, that's his parking lot. I don't think you should be able to shoot someone for coming on your property.
It depends if you feel like your life's in danger.
Right, but that's the slippery slope. Now I feel automatically like my life's in danger because there's a black guy here.
No.
Well, you should have to justify that somehow, right?
It like should also be said every person he shot was white.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying that the defense
of it. Listen, if a person comes in my house with a weapon, I'm going to protect my wife and child.
Right,
I am. But if he comes in and is like, I don't have a weapon, I'm just here to steal your TV.
Take the TV. I'm not going to shoot you. That's my point.
Right. I'm not going to shoot him over a television.
75-inch TV down the street. Good luck, dude.
So that's what I'm getting. That's what I'm
good
getting
luck with
at,
that.
Right?
Do you need help loading in your truck? Like, what?
Yeah, it took us a while to get that in my car. Good luck, sir.
Right. It sure did.
Yeah, she had to sit with her knees at her chin.
How are you going to I don't know, but I would not
kill someone over a personal problem. I would not. Now, my wife or my son, I would.
Right. Totally different scenario. Yeah. So then, when you look at all these situations where they're like, well, you know, these innocent black people get shot, and it's like, okay, what were the things they were doing? Selling cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Playing with a toy gun. Like, oh, are all of those things now things you should be prepared to be killed over?
Right.
Like,
right.
What year is this that's okay? And I fundamentally just don't understand anyone who's like, you show up on my property, I'm going to shoot you. Mm-hmm. I'm not. You want to rob me? Rob me. I'm not going to kill you over it. What's the word I'm thinking of?
Are you drinking?
God, I don't know. I'm just sound drunker than everybody.
If you're an imminent threat
if you pose an imminent threat to my safety, that's a different situation, right? But you just want to rob me? I'm sorry. I don't think robbing or looting or any of those things should be punishable by death.
I think they're punishable by community service. I think you should have to work to pay those shop owners back.
Right. Yeah. You like video from Target that I saw. You break into Target, you loot, you whatever. Right. Like, if you get arrested, then you should go to jail for that. That's not protesting. But should you be shot and killed over it? No.
Right. I agree.
No, you just shouldn't.
Right. Now, but I think you deserve punishment. I do think that if you break into my house, I'm going to call the cops on you, and I hope that you have to serve time. Sure. Yeah. And if you break into a store or burn a store down, you owe that place. But my point is, most people think that. That is the disconnect, right? Like, most even, you can find... It's hard to find a person more left than you, Stacey. Mm-hmm. Like, you're the leftist of the left of the left. And even you think if you burn someone's business down, you should
go to jail.
Right. Or pay reparations of some kind, work it off, whatever. Like, the whole idea that they're painting liberals as, oh, there should be no, just let them run wild. That is not what anyone
Anarchy.
Is saying.
Literally nobody.
Right. But that's the argument. That's what the argument is. You shouldn't lose your life over it. You should have to face the justice system.
Correct.
The consequences.
Yes.
Sometimes people make shitty decisions and it doesn't make them a shitty person. There's plenty of people that have criminal records, that have done shitty things in their lifetime, that are decent human beings, that are good people, and that do good things.
But sometimes they are shitty people, and they're going to spend their lives in and out of jail. They still don't deserve to die.
Correct.
They still don't deserve to die.
And that doesn't become a justification, mm-hmm. right? Like, it drives me nuts when it's like, okay, what that kid did, he's a terrorist.
He showed up, first of all, for all you gun enthusiasts out there who are like, we're law-abiding, gun-owning citizens, okay? No one under the age of 18 in that state is permitted to own an AR-15, all right? He was 17 years old, so law number one broken that he was even carrying. He crossed state lines with it, made it a federal crime, all right? He went to an area, even though it was only 20 miles away, to protect a business that did not belong to him. Why was he even fucking there? So mm-hmm. you say all these things like, well, they shouldn't have been out past curfew. You say about the protesters, why was this guy mm-hmm. out past curfew? Like, the fact that you don't see the double standards tied up in your whataboutisms mm-hmm. is not only disingenuous, it's fucking gross. Because your intentional or unintentional racism is showing. Because mm-hmm. to say the protesters shouldn't have been out there after curfew, neither should Kyle Rittenhouse, okay? And the fact that his mother drove him there, she should be prosecuted and charged as accomplice in those murders because that is what they fucking were. They were murders.
Right. And I'm sure she saw his fucking AR-15 when he got in the car.
Oh, she gave it to him. He can't buy one. He can't buy one.
Right. No, I know. I'm just saying, like,
fold up and put in your pocket like it's a goddamn giant fucking gun.
Right. And here's the thing that I get so frustrated by, right, with all of this stuff is for everybody that wants to be so pro Second Amendment and pro this and pro that, why are you not pro people's right to protest?
Because they're not.
I'm not talking about looting.
It's racism.
Right. Yeah. Well, I know it is. I'm just saying, like, okay, yeah, they weren't supposed to be out past curfew, right? But they're protesting, and that's sort of the whole point, right? Like, you're trying to peacefully protest. And so when you see these images of, you know, all the Black Lives Matter protesters and all the guns are out there with their guns pointed at them, and then there's all these, like, right-wing nut jobs behind them with they all have weapons, and no cops are pointed towards them. They're not even facing them. And it's like, again, there's that inherent racism, that inherent bias that tells you that this group of Black people is dangerous, inherently more dangerous than the people whose guns you can see.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me. It just doesn't.
Yeah, and...
And here's the thing. Even with the... And I know I'm like way... This is like my super, super being left showing, but... I get the destruction a little bit. It's not about destroying some poor shop owner's shop, and it's not about attacking Target. It's about anger and frustration and not knowing what else to do, right?
Oh, in hundreds of years of it. Because let me tell you something. If someone killed my son and I thought there would be no justice served, mm-hmm. I would burn every fucking city down. Within it, I would be screaming mm-hmm. from the rooftops, and I would be trying to implore all of my friends to join me, because you know what can't be replaced? My kid. My kid cannot be, as flawed as he may be, as wrong as he may have been in that moment, of all of the, because if he, let's give the police the benefit of the doubt. And there was a warrant out for Jacob's arrest. Okay. At least I could have still visited my kid in jail. At least mm-hmm. I could have still seen him. At least his children wouldn't have seen him shot in front. Mm-hmm. It's the absence of humanity that makes my stomach turn. We have to. I don't think we're better than this right now. If you were to take a snapshot of America today, I don't think we're better than this. I think we should be, though. And I think there's people who live in this country that want to be. And I even think there's people on the right who want to be, but they're so tied up in their identity politics that it goes against what they should say to agree. Because I know people right now who are defending Kyle Rittenhouse who would burn the fucking city down if their kid was killed by a police officer.
Right.
And I want to be clear. I have friends and family that are police officers. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm just not. I'm fucking not talking about you. But there are people in your industry who are fucked up and broken, and they make the rest of you look bad.
And they just need to do better, right?
And same thing. The whole system has to hold them accountable.
Right. I have several friends that are police officers. And you know what? Discharging your weapon is a last resort.
Right.
I was talking.
There's no situation in which you would fire seven times that close to somebody at their back.
I was talking to my dad about this. Because, I mean, if you're a longtime listener, you know my dad's a cop. He was a cop for 23 years. He's a retired sergeant. My grandfather. Yeah. I have six uncles that are cops. My grandfather was the chief of police of Los Angeles. Okay. I'm steeped in police officers in my life. And yeah. I love them. But I was talking to him about this, and he said the hardest part for him is, you know, cops don't get the respect that they used to get. And what I want to point out to him, which I didn't, because let me tell you guys, it is a fruitless argument and it's not worth it. And my dad and I are rebuilding our, it's a whole thing. Yeah. But what I wanted to point out to him, the fact that he's missing is when he was a police officer, cause he retired at 50, he got the fuck out. All right. He was done. He's 63 now. So that was 13 years ago. Policing also wasn't the same in the 70s and 80s in California as it is now. Like, and I'm not saying they weren't racist at the time. I'm saying they didn't have combat gear on. They weren't busting down doors. They weren't throwing tear gas at protesters. You're talking about police officers that walked a beat and were part of the communities that they were actually in. And I'm not saying that they were all fair, and I'm not saying that they all weren't racist, because they know that they were. Because that's how the system is built.
But it was scaled down so much more.
They weren't going in as military activists. And my grandfather gave my father his weapon, his service weapon. And he was the chief of police in South Central Los Angeles as a white man. And he said, in my 36 years as a police officer, I never fired my gun once. And I hope it's the same for you. That's the difference of mentality that has transferred from one generation to the next. And my grandfather, who I'm speaking about now, he was a hardcore Democrat. Hardcore. He voted for Obama both times. He was a firm believer in police brutality, and he was a firm believer that the cops overexposed their right to control citizens.
Yeah.
He would not be the chief of police now.
No,
he just wouldn't.
And I think it's important to.
And he was in the 70s.
Right. Like, well, when most people are saying defund the police, this is what they mean, right? Demilitarize.
Right.
That's really, really what they're saying. Is they're saying take this astronomical amount of money that police departments get in small towns. Does your small town need a SWAT team? Does your small town need crazy
a Lamborghini
military
or what is that?
Vehicles that are like, you know what, they're insane. So take all that money, put it back into the community where it belongs, and make those police officers exactly what you just said. People who work their beat, and this is what they do. And when you need those institutions, if you need military support, then that's who you call. But it certainly doesn't need to be who's policing your neighborhood.
Or use it for things like, you know, social services, you know.
Exactly. That's what I mean. You take that money, and it doesn't mean you're going to get rid of police officers, but let's make them police officers again.
My grandfather and I did not have a good relationship, and that's because he didn't have a good relationship with my mom. But when I look back now on his police record, when I hear about him, he required that his officers physically walk the beat, like walk it, not drive it and sit on a corner with the windows up 75% of the time.
No people.
He forced them to be part of the communities that were involved in, and you had to be on that beat for a minimum of 7 years. Mm-hmm. Like he was actually kind of a revolutionary, and I'm sad that I actually didn't give him the credit he deserved when I was younger. But he saw what was going on in the disparity between the police department and the people of Compton, because he worked in South Central. It was Compton. It was, you know, Watts. Mm-hmm. And he forced his white police officers to be part of that. I'm not saying it was enough. There wasn't enough black police officers. They didn't have enough, you know, psychology training. They didn't have enough social workers on hand. They didn't have enough of those things. But why have we abandoned that? Why have we moved so far? And I'm not saying a social worker would have fixed what happened at the shooting. It wouldn't have. Like, no. That was a shit show from the moment it got called to the moment it ended. It just was. Yep. 4 police officers, 3 police officers on one individual that potentially, and I've heard conflicting reports on it, had a knife.
Right.
A social worker would not have fixed that. But
no. There's a big 7 difference
shots
between...
in the back doesn't fix it either.
Yeah. No. I think there's a big difference too between, like, you know, police officers now that are feared and police officers back then that were friendly. You know, your friendly neighborhood police officer, you know, like, he was the guy that you would go like, hey, you know, Joe Blow stole some milk off
my... But we've started saying respect police because they're police. We've gone away from police should earn your respect.
Right.
That's the difference. They're not part of the community. They show up to police you.
Right. And it's so frustrating because I feel like even just getting pulled over, like people are like peeing their pants because it's a police officer. And I think that a lot of times it is because I think a lot of times police officers have that like chip on their shoulder. Like, I'm the police, I'm the law. Mm-hmm. And instead of like what your grandfather did was to kind of instill this idea that you're not just a police officer. You are there as a protector. You're there to protect the peace.
Well, here's my theory on it, and it could be completely way off base, but I think based on all the police officers that I know personally, you have to have a level of arrogance and a level of superiority to be a police officer.
Like in today's day and age.
Right. That's just one of the things you have to have in order to do that job, right? To enforce the law and to do all of those things, you have to have that. That's not inherently bad. Those are just characteristics you need to be able to do that job.
It's the same with the military.
Right, exactly. So it's when that intersects with this like inherent racism that now you have a problem, right? Now we've got an issue. And so let's just say that police officer did fear for his life. Well, he already has that, you know, he's inherently fearing for his life because this person is black more so than he would if that person was white. And now you have this, I'm in a position of authority and I have this, and it just creates this toxic environment. So if we address the, like, black people aren't inherently more scary, inherently more, you know, likely to pull a gun on you, you address that, right? Because statistics aren't going to be on your side for that because they're all getting arrested more, like, at a higher rate than white people are. It's the training and it's how you have... Like there, I don't think there's any profession in the world outside of maybe doctors where bias training is more important. Like police officers and doctors, they should be having anti-bias training literally all the time. And even on the most basic level, the most basic level of anything you do, if you're enforcing a rule somewhere, it is 1,000 times easier to do it when you've built relationships with the people than it is if you don't. When people rent our facilities, if you just sit up there and you never talk to them until they do something wrong, that's going to rub them the wrong way. You get to know them. You are helpful and, you know, you explain what your role is there, how you can support them, how you guys can meet your goal together. 1,000 times easier.
That's life.
It literally is life. They
right. And communicate.
With teachers, when you're working with kids, it's called the halo of good behavior, right? Like you walk around there's this radius around you and all of a sudden kids are behaving because the teacher's there. So the more personal contact those officers have with members of the community, like you said, instead of just sitting in their car the only thing you should be upset or worried about when you get pulled over is like, oh my God, my parents are going to be so mad. Or, oh my God, my insurance is going to go up.
Yeah.
Like, those are the things you should be worried about. Not that you might die.
Right. Yeah. Well, we have, and the problem I think too is part of the problem of the defund the police movement, and I'm going to be real honest here and you can fucking send me emails if you want. We're focusing too much on the police officers and not focusing enough on their training. Mm-hmm. Because I know some police officers who exist now, and I knew them before they were cops. Mm-hmm. Their attitude has drastically shifted since they've become police officers because the training they receive indoctrinates them into the system of this is who is going to harm you and this is what you have to be alert for. And that training is biased. They're not armed with the correct tools to diffuse a situation, to talk a person down, to have a conversation with a person that doesn't involve imminent threat to mm-hmm. the police officer or the suspect.
Right.
They're not even trained really to handle a victim correctly.
I cannot tell you how many videos I have seen on Facebook or whatever, where it's like, oh, these hero police officers saved this baby. And I'm watching it and I'm like, that's not how you do CPR on a baby.
Right.
That's not how, like, the lack of, but it's like hero. I'm like, yeah, that baby survived, but like, you're getting thrown in there and expected to perform this thing that you have no idea what you're doing. You just don't.
You haven't been given the tools to mm-hmm. succeed. So again, you can be mad at me if you want. These police officers, there hasn't been enough money put into the correct training to prepare them for these situations. Mm-hmm. So they're reacting on gut instinct. And whether we like it or not, gut instinct, your inadvertent biases play into your gut instinct. And right, they're going to react in a way mm-hmm. that 3 months afterwards, they're kicking themselves in the head for reacting the way that they did. Mm-hmm. Because I don't even think that the vast majority of police officers, bear with me, are inherently racist. I think it's mm-hmm. training. I think they are... So we have to look at
disproportionately. They're not so more racist than anyone else has inherently.
Disproportionately, they deal with more people of color than mm-hmm. they do white people in situations because the law is already mm-hmm. racist. So right. police officers grow up in this system when they come in at 21, 22, whatever, dealing with more people of color because the system is already working against them. So their implicit bias is playing into the fact that people of color are already dangerous because that is who they're dealing with more, because that is who more calls are made on. Mm-hmm. So when they enter a situation where a person of color, a black person, brown person, yellow person, whatever, could potentially have a weapon, their fight or flight kicks in and they're mm-hmm. reacting because we haven't spent the money to teach them any better.
Right.
It's right. actually unfair that we hold right. some of these police officers accountable for training to do better that they never received. I don't right. actually think defund the police is the correct marketing tool.
It's we not need, the right name.
We need to put more funding in different aspects.
Reallocate
mm-hmm. money yes. within the police department. I can't tell you how many police officers would benefit and appreciate training from my wife, who's a social worker who deals with people from all kinds of the socioeconomic scale and mental health problems. They would benefit from listening to her discuss how to handle different situations that could produce a more positive outcome. I'm not even mad at the cops at this point. We put them in a situation that is doomed to fail from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, it just yeah. is. Well, it is.
And this is going to be controversial. I'm just going to say it. If it's too bad.
Oh, we're going to get a lot of emails. It's
I
fine.
Know. It's whatever. I also think that there's this like unfair, and it's going to, how I'm wording it is going to come out really bad, and just know that I'm going to explain it because it's a complicated thought. There's this very weird inherent like hero worship, right, in positions of authority like that, where you're like, oh, I look up to that person. Like, and that's totally healthy. I think that's great. Things, doctors, teachers, police officers, firefighters, right, doctors, right. nurses, like, all of those things, right? It's gotten so way out of control, I think, that, you know, we've talked about that before. Like, not every person who's been in the military is a hero.
Fact.
Right? Right. I still think there's a great, like, that person's a role model, and that person, you know, that's amazing that they took this job, whatever.
I wouldn't let have him watch my dog. You,
right. But I don't think just having a position or having a job makes you a hero. I think what you do with it does.
Right. Right.
It's not inherently heroic. So now we're in this phase where it's like this crazy Blue Lives Matter thing, right? Which, let's just put, like, call a spade a spade. All, blue lives aren't a thing because you choose that.
It's a job.
Like, you go home at the end of the
green
day.
Green lives
you take
matter.
Uniform,
right? Parks and Rec. Green lives matter.
You go home at the end of the day and you take your uniform off. And black people can't do that at the end of the day. It's not the same thing.
Right.
It doesn't take away from what you do and the fact that you have a dangerous job, but there's a lot of dangerous jobs out there. Ice road truckers are dangerous, and fishing.
Ice road truckers' lives matter.
Do you know what I mean? Like, all of those are dangerous jobs. It's what you do with it that makes you a hero. And so I feel like where you already have to have that, like that kind of self-confidence and that, like, I'm kind of an asshole, whatever, like, mentality to be able to do that job. When people are constantly fawning all over you and calling you a hero just for having a job or having a uniform when you haven't done anything with it yet, it just perpetuates that, you know, that pedestal that they get put up on. So it makes it easier to justify when they do something wrong because you have them up on this hero pedestal. And I don't know that that's fair either. And again, it's not to say that I don't appreciate police officers, but what is a police officer doing that's that inherently more, you know what I mean? Like, special or dangerous just by having the job. I'm not talking about specific actions and obviously saving lives and de-escalating situations. Like, those are all very, very important things.
This is the sad part, is that you literally have to explain yourself.
I know. I want to be really careful.
Yeah. Like, that's...
I have a friend who's in the police academy now, right? When he graduates, the first day he puts on his uniform, is he a hero?
No.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't done anything yet other than get dressed.
There is. He's a hero.
Do you know what I mean? But there's this whole, to the point where it's like, oh, if you're a cop and you flash your badge, you don't have to pay to ride BART. And you get this for free, and you get that for free, and you get this discount, and you get this you know, it's like this crazy hero worship now that we've gotten that makes them also above the law and not be held accountable. And that I just think is unsafe. I'm all for police officers being like, kids should look up to them, and you should, like, that kind of hero worship and that sort of like, oh, look at how well they're doing their job.
Well,
look
public
at this
service
thing
sacrifice
they
is right. Right. But there's a lot of people that serve in public service. And I think we have to examine, as Americans, as liberals maybe, because the right's not going to do it, how they exist now. Our version of heroism, because it's all related to war. It's all related to death. It's all related to protecting us from death. There's all of these ideas of heroes that we view so much in our society as like war based and win, lose, bodies down here, you know, oh, liberal tears, you know, Republican carnage. Like, there's all of these references to war when I don't know if that's where a true civilized society should be looking towards as their idealism. Like, why do we worship war so much? I've said on here before, and I'll say it again. I served in the military. You should not worship every person that served in the military. Some of them
are horrible fucking people.
Just like everybody. They're horrible fucking people. What did they do with their service that fucking matters? Okay. And well, I get it. They signed a blank check. That's the rebuke I get most often. But they were only working at the gas station before. So they went in for 4 years. And I'm not saying people who serve in the military don't deserve your respect. They don't all deserve your hero worship.
Right. Exactly. That's the same thing with police officers that I'm saying. And here's a prime example.
Okay? People deserve your respect, though.
People. In general. Yeah. So, so at the beginning of all of this, when everybody was like full on quarantine, right? Nobody could get toilet paper. Nobody could get whatever. There were stores that were doing like, oh, essential worker shopping hours and stuff. And tell me how police officers were getting in and nurses weren't. Doctors weren't.
Oh, that's bullshit.
So during COVID, right? During COVID, who's the hero of all this? You look at all of your like emergency personnel, whatever. Certainly not PD. It's not fire. It's your doctors and nurses. So even in that, it was like, we're, you know, during COVID, people dropping off cards and thank you letters and treats to the police station. Yeah. And I'm like,
they work all the time anyway.
Right. All they did was move to a rotation that makes them work slightly, you know, a different schedule. So then they quarantine afterwards. And half of them aren't doing that anyways. They're all out doing whatever they want to do. So, because I get it, everybody's sick of quarantine, whatever. But it's like, no, in this instance, it's not them. It's different if it was like, hey, we're having fires right now. Guess who's sort of at the forefront of that? Firefighters.
Thank you, right. California firefighters.
Oh my gosh.
Thank
you so much.
And Canadian firefighters who came in to help.
And literally yeah. everybody.
Yeah.
But Oregon like, that's what it is. But it's just so weird that like, it doesn't matter what happens. It's like, oh, the cops, like, right. But they're still just doing their regular job. Like this hasn't really affected them that much. And it's just that, like you said, it's great to respect them and to look up to them and stuff, but the hero worshiping, it just makes it easier to explain away the bad things that happen. And as many times as you want to say like, oh, a few bad apples, the saying is a few bad apples spoils the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important to remember.
Like, well, and I mean, if like, you want to take it in the apples. Same, if you want to take it in the same context, like people deserve your respect, not necessarily hero worship. Like we could get into, you know, PG&E workers who keep our right. lights on when we have major fires going on in California, historic, right. catastrophic fires, when the other half of the year you're fucking spitting on and throwing rocks at their fucking mm-hmm. trucks, which is bullshit.
Or like, the teachers that are literally yeah. the reason that some of your kids haven't committed suicide.
Right. My wife, but, who is the reason that some of your kids have not fucking committed suicide, right. but you don't hold her profession up on a pedestal as heroism.
Right. Like, she's not riding BART for free or getting free coffee in the morning.
Well, that would be nice.
I know, right?
Maybe if you could get me some coffee for free, that would be legit.
That would be hero worship.
Listen, my wife makes me coffee. I'm not even going to complain.
You still have to earn the position of hero in my life.
Yeah.
And that's lots of police officers and firefighters and teachers and all kinds of people. But it's what you do with it.
That's exactly right. Like, well, we don't need to harp on this anymore. It's we have to get in the mindset of, and if they are your heroes, if they really are, then we should be asking for better training. We should be asking them to not put them in impossible situations to deal with things that they don't have the tools to manage. And that's what we're doing now. Like we're putting them in these impossible scenarios where they are encountering a person with a criminal record, where they are in encountering a person that could potentially have a weapon. And we're not teaching them any other types of disarmament besides shoot them. That doesn't help anyone.
Nope. And that's not something we should worship. That's not a hero. To me, that cop who shot Jacob Blake, that's not a hero.
Mm-hmm.
That's a coward.
But yeah. his own system failed him too. I don't Agreed. Know him personally. I don't know Jacob personally. The system Agreed. Failed them yeah. both. They were just two different systems at work. And we have to stop approaching it like the cops can just keep doing whatever the fuck they want. They're doing everything right. And everyone else has to adjust.
Right.
Everything has to adjust. Not,
yeah. That's the systematic or systemic racism that has mm-hmm. to just be snuffed out. It's that yeah. whole idea that like, this particular group of people needs to change. No, everybody needs to change. We all need to work together to fight racism as a whole. And it's not just, you know, I will say it and not in a bad way, but
we're already
I'm sure there are Black people that are severely racist against white people because of how they've been treated for, you know, 150 fucking years. Like,
400.
I get it. Like it's ridiculous and it's awful and it's sad and it's all of the things. But if we can all find a way to kind of find like this common ground,
Well, we have to agree there's a problem first.
Right.
Everyone needs to own their shit.
Everywhere.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's the problem
everyone
needs to own their shit. We all agree on. Yeah. Yeah.
We all need to own it. Like the Black man that was killed, God, his fucking name escapes me now, which is horrific.
Because there's so many.
No. The one who told the police officer he was licensed to carry a gun and he was going to pull it out.
Oh, Philando Castile.
Yes. Thank you. That cop, when you watch him afterwards, he's in tears crying yeah. because he shot him. Okay. The system failed them both because he wasn't given the right tools to handle that situation. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, one person lost their life and the other is still alive. So one disproportionately affected the other. And I'm not trying to take anything away from his death. But the system broke that police officer too, because they put him in a situation where he didn't know how else to deal with that, or he wasn't trained well enough to know how to respond. Because in that immediate video, I'm going to be honest, he looked really fucking upset about what he had just done.
I agree.
He looked devastated that he had just shot him. I'm not saying he was right.
No. I'm agreeing with you. I was just going to say, out of all those videos, mm-hmm. he's pretty much the only one I've seen that looked that way.
For sure. I know. I'm not even trying to make excuses for him, but I felt for him in that moment because he saw his whole life flash. Of course, he still was breathing, so he came up winning, obviously. But that was the first time I ever realized, oh my God, the system's failing you too. The whole fucking thing, all the way around, nothing about our system is right. And we have to mm-hmm. fix it. We have to. If you respect police officers, and I do respect the sacrifice mm-hmm. yeah. that they make, you have to want them to get better training to deal with situations like this. They have to. And stop fucking defending Kyle Rittenhouse, man. Like, get over yourselves. Like, that's all I'm going to say about that. Fuck that guy. Like, seriously, he's a 17-year-old kid. Trevon Martin was a 17-year-old kid, too. And fuck all of you. Like, if you're defending him, fuck you. Because he made a conscious decision across state lines with an illegal weapon to protect property that didn't belong to him. He got in altercations with people, and he fucking killed people. He didn't have the mental capacity to be handling that tool of death. And right. now he should pay the consequences for it. Right. And if you're one of those motherfuckers that is sending money to his GoFundMe for his legal defense, fuck you. Like,
yep.
you don't think he should pay the price, but black people should. Like, fuck all of the way.
Yeah.
Seriously, all of the way off. Mm-hmm. All of the way off. All of the way off.
Not just some of it.
No.
All of it.
What are you guys obsessed with this week?
I'm not obsessed with fucking cleaning a fucking a graffiti off a wall and then going and shooting somebody. Fuck that
mm-hmm. meme we sent each other. This Ted Bundy was seen cleaning dishes too. Doesn't make you a fucking saint. Like,
right.
Agreed.
Fucking lunatic, man.
I'm gonna go first because mine's real easy. If you guys haven't watched Say I Do, I'm telling you right now, it is what I needed to make me feel better about the world. Have you guys watched it yet?
Is it? Tell me all about it.
Okay. It's on Netflix. It was made by the creators of Queer Eye. And at first I was like, oh God, a spinoff. I fucking hate spinoffs. Like, whatever. I have cried happy tears every single episode. It is so moving and so uplifting. It is exactly what you need at the end of the day of dealing with all of this. Like, I've been telling Lincoln, you need to go to sleep because me and Mom need to watch something that makes us feel fucking better about the world we live in. And these gay men, they bring it. And the people that they're planning weddings for, because at first I was like, I'm not fucking watching a wedding planning show.
But it's not Bridezilla.
No, but Say I Do is so much more than that, and it is so good. If you guys can make it through the first episode without bawling, I will be surprised. My wife, who never cries at TV shows, which kind of boggles my mind because she cries about everything, I looked over and she's like, wiping her face, and I was like, ah, they got you, huh? It is so good. I can't recommend it enough. It is the perfect amount of like serotonin injection. it'll make you feel better about the world. That is my obsessed with, because we've already discussed all my other what the fuck is going on.
Yeah agreed, except for now that we just got the news that Chadwick Boseman died, I can't focus on anything else, and I'm so upset about it. And
what?
Yeah, yeah. He had colon cancer
for the last 4 years.
Yeah. I'm like devastated. Like, I want to cry.
I do too.
Like,
fucking like, the Black Panther, man.
I know. It's not even that. He was Jackie Robinson too. Like,
yeah.
This is the first I've heard of it. What happened?
Yeah. Well, it literally just happened 21
like,
minutes ago.
What happened?
It was very...
Yeah, like while we were recording.
When I got that phone call, it was Katie calling me to tell me that he passed away. I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake. I'm like,
so sad. Like, it makes me want to go watch Black Panther. It makes me want to go watch 42.
Yeah.
Like,
it's too much.
It's too much. And I'm like, I'm so upset.
So what happened?
I don't even know that I could watch. He had colon cancer.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you just said that. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm like pretty depressed about that right now.
I don't even understand. How do you? He was a
no.
He was a goddamn no. He was a hero. Look at how he twirled and flipped around and was fighting colon cancer for 90% of it.
Ugh. I know.
That makes me so sad.
I know. I literally like want to cry.
Did
like,
you know that he, because Katie said he was never public about his diagnosis.
So I had no idea until I just read it.
I am literally just beside myself.
I know. So I'm obsessed with that currently. And Aaron and I have started.
You really leapt ahead, though. That's not fair. Fuck. Damn.
We started rewatching The West Wing because we can't.
Good one.
Right, because we can't with any of this. So we're just going ahead with Jed Bartlett.
Good call.
Let's talk about how.
Oh, Boston Legal, too. If you guys are going to redo Boston Legal, let me know. I'm in for it.
Okay. But West Wing, man, do I love Alice and Janney. Like, CJ's so good. I ship CJ and Danny so hard.
Yeah.
Oh, and Josh and Donna.
Josh and Donatella Moss.
I know. Oh, God, and damn. Sam and the hooker. Like
Sam and the fucking everyone. Hooker. God damn.
Ship like, everyone.
Literally, CJ Craig is one of the best TV characters to ever exist on any TV show ever.
Agreed.
She is so amazing. She's so smart. She's so articulate. The best part, though, is in the very first episode when she's running on the treadmill and she fucking falls.
She falls. Like,
it's so characteristically her.
She has good chemistry with every character on that show. Like,
everyone.
Her chemistry with the president is great. Her chemistry with Leo is great. Josh is great. Sam is great.
Her and Toby,
like, they're such good friends. It's so good. Her and Danny, like, that's crazy. Yeah. But also, oh God, her and Abby, her and Donna, her and, oh my gosh, remember her Secret Service agent guy?
Yes!
Who Mark Harmon played, and I can't remember his name right now.
I know who you mean, yes.
So, yeah, like, she's the greatest character ever. I can't
wait to get where you're at.
I'm like, right in the middle of the, like, I'm right in the, like, CJ and Danny, like, where she's just randomly kissing him all the time.
Literally, this is me. I'm like, I'm totally in. Stacey's like, I'm in. I'm like, great. Did you start? Yeah, I'm 12 episodes down. I'm like, I literally just got through episode 1.
Because I had it on all day while I was working.
Listen, though, I have been doing the read through for Swift Vengeance. Best book Jackie and I have written. And Gene, and it is going to fucking rock people's worlds.
Yes.
And it is going to basically, it's I don't know. That's what I'm obsessed with right now.
You guys, it's so good.
Yeah.
I don't say that about all my books. This one's really fucking good.
Yeah, like
I'm excited. I don't
typically like what I write.
Yeah,
like,
I don't either after it's done.
Yeah, like I'm like, eh. Let's see what fucking Goodreads people.
Done.
Yeah, kind of.
And then I read the Goodreads reviews and then I cry. And then I'm like, fuck me, man. This is never going to get anywhere. And then I have two.
Well, tell them what Swift Vengeance is about.
So Swift Vengeance is, the great part is that it is a secondary character from Jackie's book, Land's End. A secondary character from my book, Breaking Down Her Walls. And Jean's book, The Second Wave, it is about Alice and Leslie, but instead of Alice's point of view, it's from Leslie's point of view. So it is all of our characters and how they intertwine together, which is fucking brilliant. This was all Jackie while she's doing her, like, 8-hour trek between where she lived in Pennsylvania to where she worked in Pennsylvania. Like, every day she had like a 75,000 mile trek that she did with a fucking a snow sleigh dog. And like, I seriously, when she first brought it up, I was like, no, this isn't gonna work. But then it worked, and it felt like we had been writing together for forever. And I seriously have never felt more comfortable writing someone else's characters as I have with Brittany, Jackie's character, and Leslie, Jean's character. It was really, really exciting and fun. And the way that these characters come together to fight this exterior psychopath.
Serial killer.
Is it psychopath? I can't remember. Psycho.
We landed on psycho. Yeah.
Yeah. Land. I was like, I don't know the difference because I write romance. But it's just the way that they come together to fight this killer is really, really amazing. And I don't know. I'm really like, I'm kind of in love with the story.
So what happens is Brittany, who I got a lot of requests to write like a book from her perspective. She has a motorcycle accident. And because of that motorcycle accident, she has the ability, she gets a little bit of psychic abilities, which she finds out is a family trait. And what that psychic ability means is she has the ability to see through the eyes of a serial killer. And that serial killer has a history with some of the people from the book. And she ends up falling in love with Tony, Aaron's character from Breaking Down Her Walls, who is Leslie's niece. And they meet at a place. Brittany's trying to find out who the serial killer is because it's a compulsion at this point. Like, if you could see through someone else's point of view, it would be compulsion to find out what was going on. They meet at a place called Swift Island, which is loosely based off of Provincetown, Massachusetts. And this hunter is stalking and trying to track down their prey, and Brittany is able to see it the whole time while she's falling in love with Tony. And it's kind of how those worlds converge, and whether or not they figure out who the serial killer is in time before anybody gets killed. It's like Aaron's best attributes, Jean's best attributes, and mine best attributes all combined into one. I write killers, they write love, and it turned out fucking phenomenal. I'm really proud of this book. Like, I'm really, really proud of it. So it turned out great.
I think my favorite part about all of it is that I feel like I've read,
you wrote from the point of view of a serial killer.
Yeah, that was crazy. Let's talk about how I had to put my mean pants on.
Aaron was like, I feel like, and I'm like, no, they don't feel. Change it.
I wrote it, and Jackie's like, I'm so proud of you. I changed all of it. I'm like, well, I tried. I'm excited. I put on my mean pants. I put on my mean pants are nowhere near what Jackie's mean pants are. Like, I swear, I was like, I found a part within myself where I was like angry, and Jackie was like, that's not angry. That's like,
we're gonna
that's
dial
like
it up
irritated.
A little.
I'm yeah. like, I don't know. But either way, I'm telling you right now, my favorite part about writing this was learning how to write with someone else, but also how to adapt and how to like take what someone else. It was literally like those, you know, those like comic books where you were like, you have this character and
choose
then you have to
adventure.
Like decide. Yeah. Like yeah. Decide what you're doing next with them. And like, that was like my favorite part. It was like, I have like a general direction of where I need to go, and then I'm going to get them there. And that was really fun and so much more exciting than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a real drag, I'm not going to lie. But I absolutely loved it. Like, I think I was talked into it in Pittsburgh because I was drunk. Like, Jackie was like, let's just do this. I was like, okay, I've had a lot of boxed red wine. Let's fucking do it. And then
it turned out great.
It turned out fucking awesome. Like, Jean fucking turned it on. And then I turned it on and Jackie turned it on and we just were cooking with fucking fire and it was awesome. It was just fun.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
It's we're going to have the Stacey's read it and then we'll do a question mm-hmm. answer for it before it comes out.
Yes.
We should each do like a reading.
Well, yeah, we'll do that too.
I'll do a reading.
Things we'll discuss mm-hmm. offline. I'm assuming everyone's alcohol was good.
Yeah, mine was great.
Planned.
Oh, no, shut up. Kidding. as usual, send us your questions. I know we don't always answer all of them. We will do that series. Hopefully, maybe we'll do an amendment every week before the election. Maybe that'll be our goal. But besides that, try to stay sane, guys. It's a shit show out there.
It's a dumpster fire.
It's a literal fucking dumpster fire.
Yeah.
We love you. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
Yes, goodbye.
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 Bye. Goodbye.